Well, welcome everybody. It's Wednesday night and it looks like I've got the SAM broadcasting working. So praise
Yeehaw.
God.
Woohoo!
I have Karen and Megan with me here. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening, ladies.
Hello.
And everybody out there.
I hope this means Rick and Charlie have the night off. As opposed to last week. So, how are you guys?
I'm doing well.
Fine, thanks.
We're gonna continue looking at a couple of other women. I hope those who are here took the time to read the 4-chapter book named Ruth, because we're gonna take a look at her. And two other people I think we'll just look back on are Rahab. And for anybody who doesn't know, she is the harlot from Jericho that hid the two spies Joshua sent in and made a covenant with them that she and her household would be spared. And she's an interesting testimony. I'll just tell you where you can find her. She is in Joshua chapter 2. When you see that story, and it's one you ought to go look at, because if you remember last week with Abigail and the Tuesday night before the Thanksgiving week, when Davy so clearly spoke that had Abigail not stood up and hasted and ran to David to stay his hand, she would have suffered the same fate as her husband. And when you look at what Rahab did, when she stood up, she took care of the spies. She lied to protect them, and she made a covenant with them, and that she and her household would be saved when Israel came in and possessed the land, because all of Jericho knew that God had given it to them. And they were all shaken in their boots. They remembered the 40 years before what God had done delivering them from Egypt. And they knew they were defeated. But she, instead of staying in that state, she instead joined herself and chose the God of Israel. And by so doing, she did not suffer the fate of her people. She switched and chose a different people. And her family joined her in that. They came into her house or stayed in her house, and they were all spared. And something we're going to see when we look at Ruth is that what we see in these two women, neither of whom were Israelites by birth, but they are two women who chose the God of Israel, and that meant that they no longer had the God of Moab or the God of Jericho. And if you remember in the Old Testament, like, nations had gods. Israel's God is the one true God. It's the one people who accept Jesus choose that same God. And these two women, Gentile women, chose the God of Israel, even as we have to do. And they're honored. If you look at Jesus's genealogy in Matthew, you'll see that they're both named in there. And seldom, there's only three people that are named, I think, if you look at his genealogy, that weren't just the male who begat another male who begat another male. One was Rahab the harlot. She's noted as her husband by Rahab begat Boaz. So she was Ruth's mother-in-law. Ruth had two mother-in-laws, as Megan was pointing out earlier. She had Naomi and she had Rahab. Ruth is noted. And of course we know Uriah, who David had killed because he took his wife Bathsheba. That Bathsheba's noted solely to give testimony and honor to her husband who had been killed at David's hand. And all three of those people were Gentiles who had chosen the God of Israel and became Jews. And one thing,
There's
if you
one other
remember,
person.
who's that?
Tamar.
Judah,
Tamar was also mentioned in verse 3. of Matthew 1. Judas begat fairies and fairies
through by
Zerah of Tamar. Yep.
She so was a Jew, women. I think.
Yes, yes.
You're right. She's noted.
Yeah.
She's the one who, and Karen, can you add Anne to the group? She's the one with Judah who, his sons had died being married to her. And he told her, well, you wait, and when my younger son here grows up, I'll give you to him. And he did not do that. And she played the whore and became pregnant by him. And he was going to have her killed because he heard that she was pregnant. And she had taken something of his, and she sent it to him and said, this is the father. And he realized she was more righteous than him because he had done her wrong and she required it of him. So these are women who did right and stood in the promises and in obedience to God. She did exactly what Judah had said. She waited. But he was afraid to let his son marry her, I believe, because I think there were two of his sons who had died. But it wasn't because of her. But do we have Anne with us?
Yes, I'm here, Robin.
Hey, Anne. Hi,
Anne.
Welcome.
Hey.
Yeah, finally made it.
Cool. Well, we haven't really started Ruth. She's going to be our first one. We did talk a little about Rahab, who's Ruth's mother-in-law, which I think is a beautiful testimony of both Salmon, who was Rahab, the man of Judah who took Rahab to wife, and then they had Boaz, who was a man who did right also. And we see that in the book of Ruth. And it's you see the reward of believing God and obeying him. You see it on the men and you see it on the women. But I don't know if any of you want have a particular starting point you'd like to throw out about Ruth, because we're not going to read the book out loud together, something everybody should have done already. Did any of you have something particular you wanted to bring out about Ruth?
For me, in reading Ruth, what hit me today was chapter 1, verse 16. And it was after Ruth's husband had died, and she had told her mother-in-law, Naomi, that she was going to stay with her. And as she said to Naomi, she says, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And what stood out to me was that she accepted the God of Naomi. That was her choice. And I think that's something you and I discussed the other day, that these women, they made a choice to follow the God of Israel. You know, she was a Moab. That was not her God, but she made that choice. And that is why she was blessed throughout.
Right, that's why God honored her, because of not only that choice, but she actually walked out in obedience that proved that choice.
That's,
you know,
right.
What I'm saying? Because
yes,
all of us here have made the choice to choose the God of Israel, so to speak. But what we're seeking to learn and to do is to walk in humble obedience to him. And Ruth is an gives that testimony. She chose him, and she trusted him, But if you stop and think about it, she trusted him as a poor woman. Part of that trust was she went out and gleaned the fields, which was God's provision for the poor. And without complaint, without feeling belittled by it or like it wasn't good enough for her, she was satisfied with God's provision. And God honored her in a mighty way, but she wasn't looking for his honor. And I can say what I would say verifies that is in chapter 2, where Boaz, after seeing her and finding out who she is, tells her to hang out with his reapers, stay by his maidens, partake of the water that his men pull. She has of the lunch provision or dinner provision, whatever they called it, that he provided. And he commanded his young men not to touch her. And her answer to all this, well, I'm going to read 12 and 13 of 2. Or Karen, would you like to read those two verses?
Sure. 12 and 13 of 2?
Yes, please.
The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens.
Yeah. So, can you imagine having this man of wealth and position give testimony, because he testifies that everybody knows that she is a virtuous woman, and he says unto her, a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. A full reward be given you. And she thanks him and says that he has comforted her. And then she makes that statement, for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid. And the handmaid, of course, is a female bond slave, a servant, not a person of high-mindedness, but somebody who comes to serve another. Though I be not like unto one of thine handmaidens. And Anne, this was something we talked about that you kind of made reference to. When the children of Israel came back from their time of captivity, the 70 years in which Esther lived, and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel, those people, the men had taken wives of that land. And if you go in and read in Ezra chapter 10, the first four verses, you're going to see where those women were strange women, and they put them off, and the children that were born by them. Ruth was not a strange woman because of her choice of the God of Israel. The other women remained strange because they kept their own gods, and it was that reason that they were put off. Had they, too, cleaved to the God of Israel and come to trust him, they wouldn't have been strange. The fact that they didn't made them strange. And you see that with Hagar and Ishmael. She remained a strange woman, even in Abraham's household. She never humbled herself to the Lord God of Israel. Or at that point, Israel wasn't born, but because that's Jacob. But she didn't receive him as her God. Ruth did. And it was recognizable. And Boaz praise a blessing upon her, and she was thankful. She did not come to Israel thinking she was supposed to have it, that she was some great one and people were supposed to pat her on the back and tell her what a good girl she was or something. She came just to have God be her God, and she served and obeyed Naomi, and without thinking it was beneath her.
She was humble. She was humble as when she came. She, like you said, she didn't think she was so great. She didn't expect anything. She came to serve Naomi and to serve Naomi's God, which became her God. So how many of us give up everything? She gave up her land. She could have gone back to her mother's house, and they would have taken care of her, probably found her a new husband, and so forth. But she gave up everything to go with Naomi. And how many of us have done that? And she never expected any reward for that. She came in humbleness.
You know, God is supposed to be our reward. And that's, when you think about it, really the simple truth about what she expressed, that that was good enough just to be able to be, to have him as her God. She recognized him as the God to have. And anything else was unimportant, so to speak. Because even at the end of the book, she gives the child unto Naomi. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. Well, this would have been with Ruth's approval. I mean, she loved Naomi and did not withhold good things from Naomi. And this was the child that was raised up to carry on her husband, who I think was Mahlon, the second one of Naomi's children, to maintain that line. And she did not begrudge Naomi this child, so to speak.
You also see Boaz's words to her. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. You see that happens.
Yes.
He gives her a husband, he gives her a child. Her mother-in-law is still with her at the end of the book. She's mentioned in Jesus' lineage. She is, has faithful men, and perhaps women too, probably at some point, come from her. And that is part, I would think, of a full reward is seeing others follow in your faith after you.
Amen. And of course, she was the great-grandmother of David, which is what you're referring to partly in faithful men that came from her.
Yeah.
But she was willing, you have to remember that we know her end. She didn't know her end. She was faithful without knowing it and without any of it being there yet. She was faithful to go back into the fields every day and glean. She was faithful in all these little things. And so when he said, the Lord recompense thy work, there was a work to recompense.
Yeah.
And she wasn't looking to do something grand. She was pleased to do that which she was given to do. I was talking to Karen and Megan earlier. I thought today about in Matthew 11:11, a scripture. I'm going to read this scripture, and then I'll tell you the context of it. It says, it's Matthew 11:11. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And that's a scripture that's always kind of hung out there in my brain, like not really quite certain of what it's saying, but I think you could look at the testimony of someone like Ruth and see what this verse is talking about. And this is after John, while he was in prison, sent his disciples to verify that Jesus was him, he. And of course John knew, but John was a man, and he was in prison. He had a short ministry. He was a young man. He was in his very early 30s. And Jesus' answer to John was to just do the works of God and tell his disciples to go back and tell him. He made this statement about John outside of John's disciples' presence. What he gave John was the testimony of that he was who he was by the works. They would testify of him. And then he made that statement about he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. we balk at being the least in the kingdom. When you look at a story like Ruth, you see somebody who didn't. And the Lord certainly did give her a full reward. I mean, we know the name of Ruth and the story of Ruth and the testimony of Ruth. That's part of that full reward. She, the other thing I, when I read this is, she really was willing to receive that which God gave her. Like Megan, you said, she got a husband. She didn't have to take the husband God had for her, but she did. He was an older man. He would have been a peer to her father-in-law, likely. Doesn't tell us that, but he was Elimelech's kinsman.
And he was older, and he commented on the fact that she could have had someone who was younger.
Yep. And yet she didn't, you know. She served Naomi. She wasn't looking for all of that stuff. But that which the Lord gave her, she received. That's another thing that can be hard. You know, I know Steve oftentimes, you know, he'll talk about praying if you have a need, but then you got to be willing to receive the way the Lord gives it to you. And you see here in Ruth that she was a receiver of that which the Lord gave. How many times has the Lord given us things that we haven't taken, that we've shunned, that we haven't wanted? We don't see that testimony with Ruth. We see her take that which is given to her. And it's not a presumptuousness in the flesh. It is a humbleness in the spirit to be able to do that, which is what you were saying, Ann.
We did lose Ann.
Oh.
They've been having internet issues. I hope she's able to get back.
Yeah, we'll have to watch for her. She can rejoin, right, Karen, if... she
yes.
comes back up. Okay.
I'll keep an eye out, too.
So I guess the one last thing is it's in a pretty amazing thing when you think about what she did at Naomi's instruction to go in and wait, watch where Boaz laid down at the end of a day of winnowing, I think it was. They'd already reaped the stuff, and now they were winnowing the barley in the threshing floor. And you know, they, as we know from the Abigail story, they eat and they drink. They have a good time, the men do. And Naomi had told her to watch where he lays down. Don't let anyone know you're there, but mark where he lays. And when everybody's asleep, go uncover his feet and lay there. And, of course, Boaz, she does, and Boaz wakes startled, not knowing who the heck is at his feet. And when he realizes who it is, he recognized exactly what it was that she was requiring of him, and that is that he do the kinsman duty to Elimelech's family or her husband. And he right off recognizes what she's doing and vows that he will make an end of it that day. There was a near kinsman. If he was going to redeem Elimelech's land and take Ruth, then it would be his. But if he wouldn't, that he would do the kinsman part, and that's exactly what he did. And you see there a man, because the nearest kinsman wouldn't. But you see there a mighty provision both for Ruth, because she obviously was blessed with a faithful husband, and Boaz, of course, through his faithfulness, had a faithful wife and is noted in the lineage of Jesus Christ himself. So.
And she's mentioned as a virtuous woman in here.
She is the only so-called, so-titled woman in the Bible.
Yes.
And virtue, of course, meaning manly strength or manly valor, which God calls all believers to stand in, women also.
Like you mentioned last week, the testimonies of reading about her tonight, and Rahab, as we've talked of her tonight, and Abigail, who we talked about last week, and Anna, particularly those ones, because those have been who we're talking about, their circumstances in the natural sense were tough, but they chose the Lord, and therefore we read their story.
Yeah. And you can add Esther in that one.
Sure. Yes.
I know she was just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I think we had done her before Thanksgiving, so yes.
Yeah.
There certainly are others.
The manly valor type thing with Esther stands out for me because of what she did to go before the king and didn't know what was going to happen to her, but went and did it anyway and was brave and virtuous.
And she didn't stop there, Esther didn't, because she had, of course, Haman's sons hung on the gallows.
Right.
She when she stood, she continued to stand in a forward manner. When I say that to myself, I think how many times, oh sure, I've stood here, but how many times do I then kind of fall back and regroup, so to speak, or kind of whatever, however you might put it. But you don't see that in Esther. You don't see it in Ruth, whose stories are rather large for us to take a look at. I thought really quick we could also take a look at Caleb's daughter. And she is in Joshua 15, I think. Oh, Joshua. Maybe she's in Joshua 24. She's in Joshua. I know that. Let me see if I can find her. No, it's not that one. I wrote it down, but if you saw, oh yeah, 15:16. I was right. Cool. If you want to go there, Karen. Now,
okay.
Caleb, of course, was one of the two men of the original spies that went into the Promised Land. He and Joshua were the only two that came back, saw the exact same thing, gave the exact same testimony. They, though, believed God was able to give them that land. The other 10 did not, and the people went with the other 10, and therefore they all died. And Caleb and Joshua were in their 80s by the time they actually went into the Promised Land. And Caleb had a daughter. And she stands out to me because, like Ruth, who clave unto Naomi and did that which Naomi said without having a big to-do about it or a big problem or anything. And it's, if you stop and look at yourself and see how much we take issue with all the time with those who have the rule over us, how much we kind of balk at their instruction. And here we have a girl, Caleb's daughter, and I was going to have Karen read what her father did that she did not balk at. And starting in verse 16 there of Joshua 15.
And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksah, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksah, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? Who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs.
Now I want to show you who Othniel is. And if you go to Judges, and I'm going to guess it's Judges chapter 1, because Othniel, if you guys don't mind helping me, was the first judge of Israel. I guess it's not chapter 1, because you see Joshua died.
Judges 15?
It can't be Judges 15.
No, can't be. Let's see.
Yeah. I'm sorry I didn't look this up before.
1:13.
1:13. You want to read that? Oh, no, that's the same story.
In Judges?
Yeah.
Well, it's the same. Yeah, it tells the same
thing. Okay, yeah.
Look at 3:9. Let's see. Okay, that's where you're going to see it, 3:9. Do you want to read that?
And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Chushan-Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel the son of Kenaz died.
I had to tell you, Karen, it makes me laugh how well you can read these things. I wouldn't have been able to have done that.
I looked at that and, whoa, okay.
But, you know, you see in Caleb's daughter a woman who has the same faith as her dad. And look at the reward she got. She was Othniel's wife. The man that the Lord, Othniel had the same faith. He had, I am well able to take this mountain. Those were Caleb's words. And Othniel joined him in that. And Othniel was chosen by God and to deliver Israel. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. It actually shows women and men, but we're talking about women, who actually believe God and believe in his goodness. And submit. They're different. This is what we want to be like. So those are those people. The other thing we could take a look at is, unless you guys have anybody or anything to add before we move forward.
The only thing I was going to mention is something that we've already really covered, is that, you know, when she said to Boaz in verse 10 of chapter 2, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? So there's that not expecting anything, you know, just not, and being completely meek and submissive, and
she
not
didn't think what she had done was of such value to be noted.
Yeah, and she wasn't doing any. She wasn't being presumptuous in any way, where a lot of people might have done that. She didn't expect anything. She was poor, and she didn't expect any special treatment or anything like that. And was just amazed that she was being treated so well.
Yep. She didn't see what she was doing as anything worthy of note.
Right. Anne just came online. I'm going to try to add her to the call.
Cool. Angie had asked who the young girl was who her father sacrificed, and that, if you go, it's Jephthah. And if you look in Judges, you're going to see it in Judges, his story in Judges 11, and the story of his daughter in Judges 12, if you want to know where that is. They are pretty amazing stories when you look at them. And she is one worthy of taking a look at in Judges 11 and 12. And, of course, we looked at Deborah, who was a judge, who's also in the book of Judges. They were women, every one of them, who submitted to authority and believed God. You had to figure Israel was a nation who believed in God, but there are noteworthy people who actually went beyond just the acknowledgement that he is and served him. Ruth terms herself as a handmaid. Abigail termed herself as a handmaid. That wasn't an offense to them. It was a high calling. But a handmaid is a bond slave. They're a person whose will is not their own. If you stop and think about it, whose will drives you? Your own or the Lord's? Anne, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Hello. Welcome back.
Hello.
Thank you. Yes, welcome back.
I had lost internet and phone, so I had to run down to Davies and get on his satellite, which took a few minutes to do. So here I am.
Well, we're nearing the end, and the other thing I was going to take a look at is Proverbs 31, but it may be that we should hold off and do that next week. Why don't you just enter in? I'm sure even though you didn't get to hear the flow of things, we looked at Caleb's daughter, who he gave to the man who could take a portion of his possession, Othniel, who ended up being the first judge of Israel, and just kind of looked back on these women and their actual trust in God, their faith in God, their rather than just knowing that he is, they actually took him at his word and submitted to it. And the idea of being a handmaid is a lowly position, but one that they would have considered a good calling, a high calling in God. Of course, they didn't have Christ Jesus. For us, we say Christ Jesus, but I open the floor to you, Miss Anne.
Okay, well, since I've missed probably the last 20 minutes.
It isn't nice of me, mind you.
Yeah, I know. What I've noticed about these women and throughout reading the scriptures is that they're humble. And they have made a choice to follow the God of Israel, even though he was technically a foreign God to their people. But they made a choice to follow him, and through that choice, the Lord was able to bless them. Even though if you look at it, none of them believed they should receive those blessings.
Yeah.
How many of us think, oh, I'm so great, you know, and of course God's going to bless me. We have a lot of people out there who walk in self-righteousness. And these women are examples of the exact opposite. And we need, and not just the women, but the men also, need to realize we're nothing special. We have nothing to be self-righteous about. We need to be humble before the Lord and submit ourselves to him and his authorities, as these women have done. And that's basically what I'd like to get across today, that you know, he blesses us not because we're great, but he blesses us because of our obedience and our humbleness.
Just to have the opportunity to even choose him as our God is an undeserved.
A blessing enough right there.
Yeah, it's not deserved by us.
That's right.
So coming to him, understanding that it's a choice he made, certainly not based on any merit of ours. Where's the place to think he owes you anything? He wants us to believe him and trust him and to stand and prosper in him by faith, but that doesn't necessarily always equal a good life, so to speak, if you know what I mean. And you see that in Ruth, because she didn't enter Israel expecting a good life. She expected provision to live, but she didn't have some rosy-colored great ideal of some great thing coming down the pike. She was, the great thing was that God was her God now. I mean, that was valuable. We don't value that as we ought.
Now, Ruth went in to serve. She was going in to serve Naomi, but to serve Naomi's God, who she chose to accept as her own. She didn't go there expecting a husband, especially a rich husband. She never expected that. She went to be a servant.
She didn't expect to have a book in the Bible give her story or to be a partaker in Jesus' lineage. She didn't expect any of that, nor did she think it was something she deserved, because she didn't. Nobody does. But God is God's choices are noteworthy. And when you think about the fact that Boaz's mom was a harlot and that God honored her, and that obviously both he and his dad understood the truth to be able to receive such a one into the kingdom of God, is another amazing thing. So I don't care what your history is, if Rahab could be a child of God, not trying to put her down or anything, but a harlot is not some thing that we want to have as our accolade, that's for sure. We don't want people to go around and say, Robin the harlot, you know?
I don't think that has a good ring to it at all, Robin.
Yeah, amen. But I mean, that's how we know her, Rahab the harlot. That's how she's, what she's called. But you know what? She was accepted in the beloved, you know? She's no worse than anyone else, believe it or not.
So, and she and Ruth, I imagine you had mentioned this earlier, but Rahab is also mentioned along with Ruth in Jesus' lineage in Matthew 1:5.
Yes. He honors, God honors them.
Yeah. But I want to get back to the self-righteousness and stuff. And Davey's hitting here listening too, and he brought it up. It's like a pride syndrome. We think we deserve to be a follower of Jesus, and then we have to get out there and prove it. We have to do stuff to make ourselves worthy of it. And that is the wrong attitude. That's the wrong way to go about it. We don't deserve it. And there's nothing we can do of ourselves to make us worthy of it. It's all based on pride.
He loves us. He wants to woo.
He loves us. He wants to woo us. You know, that whole crap, you know. Yes, he
yeah,
loves
thank you for making sure that it was heard as crap.
That's the ecclesiastical statement. But we can't earn it. Nothing we can do can earn that. And people have got to stop thinking they're so great because they do stuff that, oh, God's gotta love us because look how great we are. And that keeps, unfortunately, that's a teaching basically in a lot of churches out there. You know, we are accepted by him because of our works,
our beauty,
and our Jesus, our beauty and how wonderful we are,
you know. Oh shucks.
I missed out on that one, I know. But we have to just, you have to be thankful. You have to be every day thank him because he loves us, not because we earned it or deserve it, but because he chooses to. And that's the bottom line right there.
I'm a whore, but by God, I'm the best whore on the planet.
What did he say?
I don't know if I he says, quote, I'm a whore. And a best tour on the planet, unquote.
Oh man.
So
yeah. Well, I think they mentioned it last night, I think. In fact, I know they did. We're not saved by works. And they were talking about you know, people can do different things and one can be for pride, but the reason why a believer in the God of Israel or through Jesus Christ, you do things because you love him. And it can be small things, things that are go on unnoticed. They don't have to be grand things. And you really see that in Ruth. So all she was doing was gleaning fields for her and Naomi to have food. They wouldn't have had food had she not done that. That's a small thing, but it was an honorable thing. She did it in service to her God. We need to examine ourselves and let the Lord show us how often we are contrary to Him.
You're saying that she did this in service to God, but also she did it in service to Naomi.
Yeah, that's how she...
She was doing it in service to her mother-in-law.
Yeah.
And God blessed her.
And God blessed her for it.
Okay. Thank you, Davy and Ann.
You're welcome.
Well, I guess we'll look into Proverbs next week and wrap it up. There's one scripture in Proverbs. It's Proverbs 12:4 that you can take a look at, along with Proverbs 31, and another scripture that speaks of a woman is 19:14 in Proverbs. And you can go back and read Titus 2 and just see how these things are kind of fulfill the Titus 2 commandments, if you would. And we'll look to just kind of finish up looking at women and hopefully taking a look at ourselves before the Lord next week. So may the Lord bless you all, and thanks for joining us. And you too, Anne.
I'm thankful I was able to get on this week. Please keep us in prayer here out at the ranch. We still have no electric. It's going on 3 weeks. And
ending 3 weeks.
I'm sorry, what?
It's ending 3 weeks. Friday will be 3 weeks.
Friday will be 3 weeks that we have been without electric out here. And it's been an expensive proposition. And our internet and phone is on and off. As you saw tonight, the internet went down and the phone went off at the same time. And we won't have it again till probably tomorrow, maybe. So please keep us in prayer out here. And hopefully we'll be back up regularly soon. So God bless everyone. I was glad to be able to join you tonight.
Thank you. Thank you, Davy and Karen and Megan.
And good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thanks for everybody for joining us.
Amen.